What are you looking for at the moment?
A little warbler that's supposed to be a dusky warbler.
And what does it look like?
It's a small, brown, nondescript warbler. Classic.
Ah. Yeah, it's the left of this gap now. It's going to come out. It's out now. 2 feet above the ground, fluttering.
Dusky's top right.
It's now, top right, it's now moved up to the top right of, of that pile of twigs. Oh,
hey, come on.
People running in front of us. It's now sitting out in the open on the top right of the twigs, moving right. It's been chased by a chiffchaff. Oh, they're both piled into the hedge.
For years, I've wondered just what twitching is all about. I mean, I've always known that it's a kind of bird watching, but this is an extraordinary brand of the pursuit. St. Agnes, where I live, is a small island with a population of no more than a busload of people. Most of us live a fairly quiet and predictable life, except, that is, for when the twitchers arrive.
If you're going up a little narrow track in a piece of woodland or something, and round the corner you get about 30 or 40 chaps charging along, laden to the gunwales with tripods, legs sticking out, large telescopes, and you see these coming towards you, this armoury, you know, glinting in the sun, it's like the hordes of Genghis Khan descending on you. And your one thought is to get out of the way. And, I mean, what one does is you just leap into the foliage until the mass has gone by, and then crawl out again.
I've travelled a lot, but I've never seen as many birdwatchers at the same place. And the way they react when they know that a rare bird is around, but they still have not seen it, the tension, such excitement, and just for seeing one bird, it's quite incredible. It's also the thing, there are so many birdwatchers, I think several hundreds on the islands, that almost no birds get past here without being seen. And it's so easy, you don't locate the bird, you locate the birdwatcher's flock, and then you find the bird easily.
The twitchers are autumn migrants to the Isles of Scilly. Their favourite roost is in the Porthcresa Cafe on the main island of St Mary's. You might call it the nerve centre of their seasonal operation, for there lives Bird Brain.
Hello, it's Bird Brain here. Yes, it has been seen. Yeah. I think so. Where are you calling from? Doncaster. Oh, well, you've got a long way to come. You've heard about the rock thrush. Yes, well, that's gone out of sight for a while, but it'll probably resurface. You coming for it? I'll see you tomorrow. Cheers.
From all over Britain, Doncaster even, they come with incredible collective stamina. They drive hundreds of miles, charter planes and boats, and make spectacular beach landings. Twitchers are driven by an overwhelming twitching instinct to hunt for birds that lesser bird watchers will never see.
Go to 2-3.
2-3, gone.
With CB operators fanning out and wrecking around the islands, twitching almost seems to have reached the level of a high-powered guerrilla operation.
Dusky has just been showing. The rustic has been seen all morning. That's about it from Tresco, as far as I know.
So I'll repeat that. You've got the rustic bunting showing and the dusky warbler likewise. You've seen it yourself, have you, Will?
Yeah, it's only just appeared. First time since before 11 o'clock.
OK, I'll get it on the board. Thank you. Back to 1-4.
Called in by CB and making their debut on Radio Birdbrain, Rustic and Dusky are chalked up, rather like soup of the day, on the board outside Porthcresa Cafe.
It's like a very advanced and clever game. And you're pitting your wits against nature, really. And it requires a lot of experience and ability. And good eyesight, of course, is one of the most important things, and knowing what to look for.
Look at this. Palace's grasshopper warbler. River warbler. They both look exactly the same
to
me.
Yes, they have different songs, and you really need to catch them. You see, if you look at Palace's grasshopper, it's got little white tips to the tail feathers. Do you see that? Whereas the river warbler hasn't. And it's got a bit of a rufous on the rump, which you, when you see them in the field, I've seen them in Sri Lanka.
What's a rufous?
Rufous is a colour.
Oh.
Can you see that? It's tinged there with a bit of rufous on the rump and whitish tips to the tail feathers. That's all you can see on a Palace's cropper.
Gropper?
Yeah. That's just short for grasshopper warbler.
Gropper?
Yeah, we've got all sorts like that. Like a flicker is a flycatcher, or in fact, an RB flicker is a red-breasted flycatcher. It's just short for saying a mouthful.
Yes, it's a very curious language, this twitch speak, as you'll soon hear if you sit around the cafe with the twitchers for long enough. I mean, apart from the abbreviated birds, telescopes become scopes, binoculars bins, and you don't see a bird, you have it or twitch it. And then there are the ticks. Each time you twitch a bird you haven't seen before, it's another tick for your tick list. And if you tick a really rare bird, you have a megatick. Oh, there's a whole glossary of words, a whole vocabulary, which is strictly for the birders.
I've been twitching for the past 2 years, but before that I was just birding.
What's the difference?
Well, it's birding. You just go out local patch and just see many birds as you can twitching. It's traveling all around the country to see one specific bird, no matter where it is.
Have you had some good ticks on the Isles of Scilly this time?
Oh, yeah, some of the good ones, especially the yellow throat. That was about the best.
How long have you been at it?
Twitching. I'm a beginner. This is, like, the first major place I've ever been to. It's first time for me, like.
Oh, so you're a novice twitcher?
No, it's... I've been birding for years, like, but this is the first time I've really done any twitching, like. Come down here, like. I think I'll make a start here, get my list up a bit.
But whatever you are, the worst thing that can happen to you is to dip out. Just marginally worse than being gripped off, but we won't go into that at the moment. If you dip out on a tick, you don't twitch it. And this means you're in the wrong place at the wrong time and miss seeing the bird. And more to the point, everyone else has seen it. And for a twitcher, dipping out is known to be one of the most depressing and lonely conditions imaginable. There's one chap who's dipped out so many times that he's actually known to all his friends as Dipper. He even has a visiting card with just his phone number and Dipper printed on it.
Last year, I did 6 trips down to the Scilly Isles, which most of which were day trips, from Derby.
Oh, that's real twitching.
Yeah, that's real twitching, yeah. You drive overnight, you get over on the ferry or the helicopter the next day, you spend the day warning, you know, running around the islands and that. And then you just get back on the ferry and you're back in the car and another 300 miles drive home.
Well, how have you got this reputation for always being in the wrong place at the wrong time?
I don't know, Russ. It's just luck. Or lack of it. When I first started birdwatching in people started to know me about 1977. I missed 14 in a row.
What does it actually feel like to dip out?
It's very depressing when you've got a several hundred mile drive and you're going home and you've not seen it. Especially if, you know, everybody else has. Yeah. It can be quite bad.
I was becoming tired of hanging around Porthcresa, and so I took a boat trip to one of the other islands. Thought I'd do a bit of gentle scouting around.
Right, what am I looking for?
We're looking for a woodchatch shrike.
Yeah.
It's been performing quite well here, perching out in the open, but at the moment it's just flown away, so we can't see it. It's somewhere in the hedge over there.
And what does it look like?
Well, it's a typical shrike.
What does a typical shrike look like?
Size of a starling or so.
Starling.
Yes, and it's got a very stout bill hooked at the end. This being an immature, is quite scaly and patterned, mixture of brown, white and buff.
And the bill will be what, bright yellow?
No, the bill is very dark, blackish colour.
Well, that must be very hard to observe in a hedge like that. It sounds so nondescript.
Oh, no, not really. It's quite striking when you see it. The hedge is quite a long way away.
Oh,
it's up now.
Right, OK. Get the binoculars up. Which straight hedge?
This hedge going straight away from us.
Yeah.
Look down there and it's on the top. Sort of
just
right-hand side.
Before the tamarisks?
Yeah, this hedge leading up to the tamarisks.
Right, okay, let's have a look. I can see 2 or 3 birds there, starlings fluttering around, aren't they?
Yes.
Yeah.
Right,
sitting out quite still.
Oh, yes, right down in the... No, it's gone.
No, it's still there.
Let me have a look. See if you've
got it. Oh, I can see it, yes! Wow! There, it's turned round, yes.
Turned round now, yes.
Yeah.
Can you see underneath the
elbows? Yes, I can. When you say immature, how old do you mean?
That would have been born this year.
Where?
Probably in southern or eastern Europe.
And where's it going to?
Oh, it's should be going to Africa.
Yes.
So it's unfortunately come. It's got lost. It's out of the way now.
Will it survive?
Well, it's quite likely to be able to feed well round here, and it'll certainly survive here for a while. But the thing is, it's likely to continue its migration in a wrong direction. So it's not likely to get to where it should be getting to.
Which is a curious thought. Here are all these men tracking down birds for the pleasure of seeing them before they go off to die. Maybe that could explain the urgency and desperation with which twitchers chase these rarities.
Is there a tremendous sort of desire? Is there a tremendous jealousy and envy to actually get that tick?
Oh, yes, very much so. The competition is enormous. A lot of people keep British lists or life lists.
What's a life list?
A life list is all the birds you've ever seen in your life, in the world. And there's a great competition to see as many as possible. A lot of rivalry to see a bird that perhaps some of your friends haven't seen.
It was a tick for me, and not bad for a beginner, but the woodchat shrike is not a particularly special rarity, and I hadn't really tuned into any special magic. What I was looking for was the fever, the excitement, the chase and the climax. It seemed the best thing to do was to hoof it back to the Porthcresser and check the board. And when I arrived there, the alert was up.
How have you heard about it, Nigel? What is it again?
An olivaceous warbler. It's just been reported at Watermill within the last half an hour.
Oh, is it a rare one? Is it perhaps a first?
No, it's not a first. There are several records for Britain, but there hasn't been one that's been easy to see generally for many years now. So it is quite a special one to see.
That clinched it, and I tumbled into the taxi with it seemed like about 25 others.
Olivaceous at Watermill, do you know?
Yeah, we have.
And all the way through Hughtown, the cry was up. Twitchers were running like mad from all directions. I'd never seen anything like it. There were twitchers clinging to the back of tractors and leaping onto buses. The taxi's CB was coordinating boats to bring stranded twitchers in from the other islands. And it was quite a scramble as we poured out of the taxi and set off down the lane to Watermill.
Okay,
ma'am. Thanks very much. Big
danger with all this gear around
the shoulder.
Yeah.
Oh, crowds already. We'll never get a view.
I hope you're not right.
12 deep they were, jostling shoulder to shoulder, tripods akimbo. And quick on the draw, the scopes were aiming high.
Have you seen it yet?
No, I haven't yet.
It's come behind these main bowls from where we're standing now.
Why haven't you got your scope with you?
It's difficult to manoeuvre it amongst all these crowds. I've just lifted it up back up the lane.
Ah.
Hope it's all right.
Suddenly everyone seemed to stiffen in horrified anticipation. No, not olivaceous showing, but a stern islander, flanked by her goats and breathing wrath and indignation, was bearing down upon us. I must admit, I did rather wish I wasn't on the twitcher side of her orchard wall. She seemed to fluff up and quiver slightly as, even more incensed, her eyes fell upon an abandoned lone tripod leaning innocently against her orchard wall.
Who is that?
This was just too much. To be fair to the twitchers, there was no damage done at all, but maybe occasionally the pressure is too much for some islanders to cope with. So, shuffling rather guiltily up the lane, we left the irate lady alone and stealthily repositioned ourselves to look for olivaceous. There was no way this little brown warbler could possibly escape.
Right. 2 foot down from the top, 12 o'clock.
Got it.
Right down.
Yes. Is that, there's a sort of dead branch going up in the middle.
Yeah. 2 foot from the top.
Yeah.
Yes, that's it. Look at
that
bill.
Whoa.
Oh.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Yucky. Look at that. Pale underwings.
That one exquisite brief moment flashes by, and out come the treasured, well-thumbed notebooks for the notes and sketches. What you quickly draw, what you see, so...
Yes, that's right, so I don't forget.
This is for identification.
Yes, yeah. Can I shut up, because I've got a lot of things in my head.
Yeah. I stood back. And now pencils make lightning impressions of Olivaceous. A wing bar here, a supercilium there. The bill must be just so.
Yes,
brows
yes,
are furrowed in intense concentration, and then the drawings are compared.
Well, there was a supercilium. You got the wrong body shape. The head comes straight off the body. No neck. That's what struck me. Just the whole body, the head, body just went straight on, didn't it? And right through onto the bill. I mean, it's phenomenal. Did you get a head-on view then, John?
Yeah.
Well, that sounds like a pretty diagnostic feature.
For me, that's fair, yeah.
Perfect habitat, the whole thing is pretty good.
I think we can claim it.
Claim this one, all right, yes. We can tick this one.
That little brown bird had caused hundreds of hearts to stir. And it was touching to me that, though there seems to be an element of the old male hunting instinct here, there is no kill. The satisfaction is merely in the tick.
You've got an idea mentally of what you're going to see. You know that it's travelled a long distance. You know it shouldn't really be here. You've discussed it. You've got excited about it. And then, at that moment, I suppose there's a feeling of the appreciation of its beauty, plus great relief that it's not flown away before you've seen it. So I think there's all sorts of emotions intertwined at the actual moment of impact with the bird. Yes, yes, very hard to describe. It's a marvellous feeling.
But as we began the retreat, I was becoming more and more intrigued by the winter plumage of the twitchers themselves.
Well, you mustn't look too neat. This is the first thing. I mean, you've got to have that sort of wild look. Something like Clint Eastwood did in his early pictures before he grew the beard and put on the poncho. I think this is very necessary. And I think anything new has got to be mucked up as quickly as possible. I mean, you roll around and things like that and get lots of mud all over the place. And the optical gear, like the binoculars, must never look new.
Oh.
I mean, they must not. I mean, to have a new pair of anything shows that you've just come out of cotton wool and are not really taking this seriously.
But even within that, there seems to be this hierarchy, doesn't there, of the punks and the
Well,
dudes.
There's the punks and the Jews. Yeah, the Jews are the people who don't really take it seriously. They come back after a good breakfast and they sort of stretch a little bit and walk out. And they're very shiny green people, they are, the Jews, normally. But the punks look as though there could be a bit of Woodstock in them. Got a T-shirt. I saw one with a pair of binoculars and a T-shirt on which said, "Too much sex makes you late for work." So we're getting plenty of good slogans now.
Nothing to do with birds?
Very little, no. I think the main thing to do is to look as though you're not going bird-watching, but everybody knows you are. A lot of army greatcoats, T-shirts. Well, anything, really. You do not want to look like the archetypal Tweedy country gentleman, really.
One birder I was chatting to was far removed from the stereotyped English country gentleman. We were huddled forward in the cabin of a boat surging through enormous waves with the late afternoon sun making rainbows in the flying spray. His beard was flowing in the wind, his tripod clenched between his mismatched shoes, and despite the fact that it was a freezing October day, he was wearing shorts. We were discussing whether the sheer numbers of twitchers, with up to 1,500 hobnail boots and tripods at a time, were not perhaps putting too much pressure on the small island farms, not to mention the farmers.
Well, people have thought this for years, of course, and every year there's more people. And certainly in the last few years there's had to be positive control of crowds. It isn't everyone's sort of bird watching. You can't wander around and find rarities for yourself all over the place like in the old days. And you've got to accept that certainly the first day of any new rarity you're going to be looking at it with maybe 500 people. Consequently, birders have had to accept that they can't go anywhere, that the islanders and the farmers have their rights, but encouragingly in the last few years, the islanders have accepted also that birders are an important part of the economy, not such terrible people, and are willing to be controlled. And at the instance of the dusky warbler, this week on Tresco is a case in point. the farmer agreed to open his field so people would go inside. The birders agreed that they'd pay 50 pence a time for the privilege. The proceeds going to UNICEF. So I imagine £300 or £400 has gone to UNICEF yesterday.
What do you all think about this recently introduced CB communication system?
Oddly enough, the CB may encourage people to get out into the field more, particularly into the remote parts of the island. The great dread always when doing the north end of St. Mary's was to be out of touch. You always suspected there was a rare bird not discovered there because no one had been. But once you'd been exploring for a couple of hours and seen no birders, you've got the sinking gut. And were convinced that somewhere there was a crowd of 500 people, maybe on Penennis, and indeed this has happened to me, watching a rarity. With CB, you have the reassurance, because with people wandering around with handsets, you can actually check that that isn't the position.
I'd had a long day on the birding beat. You certainly need stamina for this game. You'd think all the twitchers would want to do in the evening is flake out, but oh no, it's off to Porthcresa again, this time to the dimly lit basement disco, now transformed into the bird brain operation bunker and the nightly log.
Winchester, one St. Martin's, one Old Hall, five Briar, one St. Agnes, one Old School.
With 200 or 300 twitchers crowded around the little stage there, it sounds a bit like bingo, or the calling of commodities on the market, perhaps. Maybe the birds themselves have become commodities.
Any other red stars besides one on Maypole, on St. Mary's?
One
bar point.
In fact, it's the secretary of the British Birds Rarities Committee who conducts these sessions. He calls out the species of birds in taxonomic order, and the assembled birders and twitchers claim their ticks.
One briar.
Anyone?
One on goo.
One goo.
There's a collecting tin called the tick box on a desk where piles of bird reports and slides are being sold. What you do is you put in anything from 10p to a couple of pounds for your last good tick, whatever you think it's worth, and this all goes to the CB fund. But something seemed to be missing. Women. Hardly any of them about. The only really serious female birder I've talked to so far, a sturdy soul, 5'1" high and with bags of gusto, complained she frequently got trampled over, or worse still, used as an impromptu tripod. The other few women seem to be attached to their respective husbands and boyfriends.
Any chap who comes down here and brings a female with him is looked at very oddly. And they all think he's a bit peculiar.
Are there a lot of birder widows, then?
Yes, very many. Very many, yeah. I have left a meal in a frying pan, in the oven, the whole thing. I've left it. I've switched everything off, and he's gone. And I have sat there watching the telly, and maybe 3 hours later he might turn up. In a euphoric state, absolutely. With drawings and notes. But everything has to stop.
Panic! One moment I was drinking coffee with a birder when another one shot by at supersonic speed screaming something about Salaki Lane. My companion ejected in 2 seconds flat with me hot on the heels of his tripod. And the next moment, here I was, breathless and bewildered, falling out of a taxi and struggling through thick mud to keep up with him.
What bird is this?
Eyebrow thrush.
Eyebrow thrush? Where's it from?
Russia.
Eastern Russia, probably.
I only got 2.5 hours. We got less than that. So right at the back of this field town.
Bloody hell, it's a turn up for the book. Where is it?
Just to the right of that gap.
Right
Under the
gap at the back there.
Yeah.
Well, you'll see the sun on the bracken behind, just the right of that. It's in the ditch there.
Oh, I can't see.
Yep, look at the gap. Excellent. Excellent.
Come on.
Steamed up. My glasses are completely steamed up. Running so fast.
Come on, what does it look like, Lester?
Basically, you're looking at a bird with a kind of grey-brown back. It's got an eye stripe.
Yes, an eye stripe, a bit of red on the
flanks. It's kind of thrush size.
It's a really good tip for
CB. Yeah, too damn right.
The CB is calling more people in. There'll be boats coming from Tresco. Planes being chartered from Newquay and Penzance.
Are they? Yeah, I mean, people who have gone off this morning are going to be kind of whizzing back here like blazes. Yeah.
I saw it too with my naked eye and through a scope, and it was beautiful, truly beautiful. And coming from Siberia, that makes it a really outstanding tick. A Sibe is rated much higher than a Yankee. Hundreds of panting twitchers were arriving by the minute, and within 20 minutes, Salaki Lane was impassable. I saw a man with tears in his eyes. The exhilaration and euphoria was almost unbearable.
Really, it's one of the most elegant birds I've ever seen. I could safely say it's more elegant than a grey wagtail, which is, to me, one of the most elegant birds. And also, when they're all clamouring, when you actually see it, you forget about everybody else around you. And they can actually be standing on your toe and you wouldn't realise it.
I was so pleased. I was so relieved, really, after having to wait that long. Everybody else I knew had seen it. It's a beautiful bird, isn't it?
That was lovely, absolutely fabulous, absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, first one?
No, I've seen them in Siberia, but first one in Britain. So I'm off to the pub for a pint.
It's a real crippler. Hooray!
Looking up towards the airport, there were smaller platoons of twitchers scoping Salaki Lane, determined to get their last glimpse of the eyebrowed before breaking cover and running low under the rotor blades of the outgoing helicopter.
It was like...
Heaven.
Heaven, yeah.
That's really made your holiday?
Yeah. Life, yeah. It's really good.
Yeah. Is it the first one?
Oh, aye. Yeah. I think it's a tick for most people here. Yeah.
Is that a mega tick?
Yeah, really.
A real mega tick?
Really, really, really.
Oh, it's made the trip brilliant. Absolutely.
It's like winning the pools on the last half hour before we catch the boat. Absolutely gripping.
It's a disease that gets you, like collecting mania gets many other people in many other ways. It's something that you feel you have to do.